Hey, as Chris mentioned a little bit ago, this morning is our annual family gathering. It used to be called something different. It used to be called our annual congregational business meeting. Yeah, all of the excitement just went out of the room when I said that. But a couple years ago, we changed what we called it to our annual family gathering, because this is what it is. We gather together as a family, and we celebrate what God has been doing, and we get ready for what God has next for us as a family. And so we're going to throw the sermon stuff up there. We're going to dive into our sermon series, which is Life's Important Questions, and we're going to be doing our annual family gathering in the midst of this sermon series. But there are some orders of business we do have to take care of, and so I'm going to invite Ryan Lee to come up here. Ryan is the vice chair of our leadership team. Mark Wesselman is our church chair. He's not able to be with us this morning, but we actually have to do two things just to get moving. So, Ryan, I'm going to turn it over to you for a moment, so go for it.
Morning, all. I would like to call this meeting to order.
Check. One down. All right, we're moving.
Go down the list here. Do I have a motion to approve the minutes from the November 11th, 2018 congregational meeting? So moved. Now, do I have a second? Second? Okay. All those in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay.
You are really good at this, Ryan.
One more reminder. The minutes from all our leadership meetings and congregational meetings are always publicly posted outside of on the board. There's a board outside of the office. And they're open. All our leadership meetings are open for anyone to attend. And they're on the first Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. Sorry, don't show up on the first Tuesday. second Tuesday of the month at 6 p.m. We meet over in the orange room over there. So,
all right. There we go.
6:30,
second Tuesday. But on the voting part, you were spot on. For the last month, we've been doing a sermon each Sunday on one of life's important questions. And we've had a myriad of different kinds of questions, but this morning, we have a question we really need to pay attention to, and that question is, who are we? Who are we? And you might answer right away, well, we are the church. In fact, that line, we are the church, is going to be sung by us after the sermon. And you'll notice, like, oh, we are the church. That's who we are. Yes and no. Because for us to really understand who we are, we need to really wrestle with what it means to be a church. And here's the problem. Our language is often sloppy. And so some of you have heard me talk about this before. You have two different words that we need to really pay attention to this morning when talking about what the church is and isn't. We need to find out if we are a kirch or an ecclesia. Kirch, it's a German word that is translated into the English word church. But here's the thing. A kirch is a location. A kirch refers to a building, a place. You can lock the doors on a kirch. You can paint a kirch. Here's the thing, though. In the New Testament, every time you see the word church in English, it's not a translation of the German word kirch. It's a translation of the Greek word ekklesia. And an ekklesia is very different from a kirch. An ekklesia is a gathering of people united by a common identity and purpose. As Andy Stanley puts it in his book Deep and Wide, you can lock the doors on a kirch, you can never lock the doors on an ekklesia. And ecclesia is a dynamic gathering of people. And just about every time you see the word church in your New Testament, it's referring to an ecclesia. Problem is, we're more used to the German word Kirche. And we've reduced what being a church is to a place that we gather. That's not the New Testament understanding of what we are all about. Who are we? Well, we are the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia. We are a gathering of people united by a common identity and purpose. We got to unpack that a little bit. If we are a gathering of people, check, united by a common identity. The first part of this sermon series, when we were doing Life's Important Questions, the question was, who am I? And we talked about our identity. We are a new creation because we have been transformed by the love of God made evident through his son, Jesus Christ. We are a new creation, not because of anything that we have done. It's because of what Jesus Christ has done. And because of what Jesus Christ has done, we are a new creation. That is our identity. We're a people that are a new creation because we have been transformed by the relentless tenderness of God in Jesus Christ. That's our identity, which brings us to our purpose. What is our purpose? Because if we're an ecclesia, we have a common identity and a common purpose. But before we dive into what our purpose is, we're going to go on a trip down memory lane. We're going to look at the last 6 years of Community Covenant Church. Okay. In 2013... Community Covenant Church entered into a significant season of transition. A longtime beloved pastor stepped down, Gerald Fry. A transitional or interim pastor, Phil Somerville, was hired. And during that season in 2013, this church, in preparation of putting together a pastoral search team, did a survey. It was a humdinger of a survey. It's a thick one. I know because I have a copy of it. Some of you that were here would remember that survey. And I was recently rereading that survey. And one of the things in the survey, and you go, I can't read that, Mike. Here's the beauty of a bar graph. Pay attention to the bars. But one of the survey questions was, Community Covenant Church would be more successful with focused attention on... And you'll notice on a bar graph, there are three of those answers that are much bigger than any of the others. There are three that go way to the right. 78%, 89%, 79%. Here are the three things that this church said, hey, with more focused attention, we can become the church God wants us to be. Revitalizing a multi-generational church. Reaching and retaining young families, and strengthening youth ministries. 6 years ago, this is what this church said. They didn't have a pastor. They said, no, but if we're going to be successful, we need to become more multi-generational. We need to reach out and retain younger families, and we need to improve what we're doing with children and youth. Using that information, the search team got to work, and they ended up hiring a pastor. Or calling a pastor this church voted on. Well, in 2014, you hired this bald-headed pastor from Washington who apparently brought the rain with him. A pastor that was prone to say things like, we're going to do things a bit differently this morning, who had a penchant for talking about baby ducks. I came to this church in 2014 in part because of the courageous work the church did in 2013. And then for the next couple of years, what we did as a church, whether you are aware of it or not, is we really wrestled with who we are. What is our purpose? The leadership team worked so hard during those years. And I have to tell you this. The past 5 years, working with the leadership teams that you have elected has been one of the great privileges and joys of my time here. The leadership teams of this church are a combination of humility and courage and faithfulness to Christ. And you should be very thankful for the work that they have done. But during those years specifically, the leadership team and the staff was working really hard to understand, okay, what are we all about? What is our purpose uniquely here? And it was in 2016 that three words emerged. And those three words that emerged were connecting, growing, and serving. And if you haven't noticed, today we're actually formally launching our new logo. It's been up for a while, but if you came in this morning, you saw it all over the place. Community Covenant Church, connecting, growing, and serving. And you might be, when we talk about connecting and growing and serving, it's connecting with God and connecting with one another, growing closer to Christ as we grow closer to one another, and serving Christ by serving other people. This is our purpose. This is what we do. And we've created this logo to help us remember this. And you might be going, Mike, what's the deal with the hexagons? I want you to stare at those hexagons for a moment. You'll notice something about the hexagons. There's three letters in those hexagons. Oh, it's like when you see those pictures from way back when, you focus and all of a sudden they come out 3D. Some of you went, hexagons. Oh. But we also are intentional with what's in the middle of it. We often will write in connecting, growing, and serving, and we'll put it in color so it stands out even more. What are we about at CCC? Connecting, growing, and serving. And you'll notice we've got really cool t-shirts. In fact, and by the way, this is not a fundraiser at all. If you want some new Community Covenant Church gear, stop by the connecting wall after the service. There are order forms out there. We got t-shirts. We're going to be doing some polo shirts that have this but embroidered in. We're going to do some hats. If you're a bumper sticker person, if you're a decal person, stop by out there. If you want that, seriously, we're just doing it for cost if you want that. We're going to do the orders all the way through June. They'll get delivered sometime in July so that jump Sunday, anybody that comes that's new goes, who are these people? Because we'll all be able to wear some of our new CCC stuff. But if you want to do that, it's going to be available to you. But during those 2 years, we were really wrestling with who we are. What is our common identity and common purpose? We are about connecting, growing, and serving. And so we are the ecclesia. We are the ecclesia, not a church. We are a gathering of people transformed by the relentless love of God, committed to connecting, growing, and serving. That's who we are at Community Covenant Church. And so what happened after that? Well, once we had a better understanding of who we are, well, then we began to invest in the ecclesia. Once we knew who we are and what our purpose was, we began to invest in that. And in 2017, the primary way that we invested in the ecclesia was the hiring of an associate pastor of worship and family ministries. Because we remembered this survey. We remembered that, wait a second, for us to be able to move forward, we need to become more multi-generational. We need to reach out and retain younger families, and we need to improve what we're doing with children and youth. And when we hired Chris Gothold as our associate pastor of worship and young and families, we hired more than somebody with a tremendous musical skill set. What Chris can do musically is remarkable. And I am very thankful for it, but that is not the thing I am most thankful about when I think of Chris Gothold. Chris Gothold has an uncompromising commitment to an ecclesiology, which is a fancy word for theology about what the church is about. He has an uncompromising commitment to an ecclesiology that is multi-generational. In fact, he has more of a commitment to that than I do. And I confess that there are times that I say multi-generational, yes, but I reduce multi-generational to we'll have programs for all the different ages. That's not being multi-generational. That's creating generational ghettos in the church. And Chris will not let me compromise my ecclesiology when it comes to being multi-generational. He goes, no. We're not going to create ghettos and just put the different generations in different places. We're going to do things together. As a result, we started doing communion earlier in the service so we could do it all as a family. Is it a little chaotic? Yep. The fifth Sunday of a month, if there's ever a fifth Sunday, we decided, because we want to be multi-generational, we're not going to have separate children's programming on those fifth Sundays. We're going to do church all together. Is it a complete zoo? Yep. The kids might say that about you, just so I'm saying. Is it a complete zoo? Absolutely it is. Are we more multi-generational today than we were 5 years ago? Some of you that were here 5 years ago will remember how anticlimactic it was whenever the person in front would dismiss the kids to go to their class, and those five kids would quietly. Today, we have to stop what we're doing because of the madhouse it is. And I am so thankful for that noise every Sunday morning. Absolutely. In 2018, we continued to invest in the ecclesia. And the way that we invested in the ecclesia in 2018 was we hired a director of youth ministries and a director of children's ministries. Oh my goodness, what a mess we made. I can look back at what has happened since they have been here, building on the vision from 6 years ago, building upon the foundation set by a leadership team that realized, oh, we're about connecting, growing, and serving, building upon an associate pastor committed to an ecclesiology that is multi-generational. Then those two came on, Emily and Debbie. In September, the average attendance number for the construction zone, which is our children's ministry, the average on a Sunday morning was 10 kids. The average today is 18 or 19 kids. Oh, but it gets crazier than that, because from October 1st until today, we have ministered to over 47 different children on Sunday mornings at this church. Numbers aren't everything, and the success isn't just a numbers thing, but that's a significant number. Wednesday nights, if you ever come here on Wednesday nights, and we've got Wildfire and Depot and Epic, our ministries for fifth through seniors in high school, over the course of a month, there will be over 30 different kids that'll be here. And the vast majority of those kids do not have a church home. The vast majority of those kids' parents don't go to a church anywhere, but they found a home here. And that is significant, because one of the things 6 years ago, I said, okay, we want to be multi-generational. We want to have younger families. And you know what? We need to improve how we're doing children and youth ministry. The return for that investment has been very, very noticeable. I still love the blue t-shirts that they wear. Those that are working with children on a Sunday morning, it just says, embrace the messy. And I absolutely love that, because it is a beautiful, beautiful mess. All right. We have also connecting, growing, serving. Primary way that we realize that we connect with God corporately is on Sunday mornings. Can you connect with God outside of Sunday mornings? We certainly hope so. But the primary way that we connect with God as a family is here on Sunday mornings. And so we hired an associate pastor of worship. But as we continue to try to figure out how to do the growing and serving part better, we've given more attention to small groups. We have started to offer some classes and workshops. And the serving piece, oh, we're going to continue to do that. Parker Whitney Elementary School. Mexicali is becoming more multi-generational. The deaconesses give out tons of food in baskets during the holidays. Our elders manage our Agape Fund, which gives money to people in need, not just in the church, but outside of the church. And there are thousands and thousands of dollars that go into there and go out every year. We continue to serve. The missions committee no longer exists at this church. Did you know this? There is no more missions committee. One, because committees are... Do you know that a group of dolphins is called a pod? A group of flamingos is called a flamboyance. I didn't know if you know that. A group of seagulls is called a flock, and also a really bad band in the 80s. Do you know what a group of buzzards it's called? A committee. I cannot make that out. We don't have committees at this church. We have ministry teams, and the missions committee has begun to transform itself to go, wait a second, what is our calling as a team? And they've realized that their heart is supporting missionaries. That's their heart. And so they've changed their name to the Missionary Support Team. That's their heart. And one of the primary things that they're doing right now is they start a thing called My Missionary. And the goal is for every person that calls this place home, pick one of these four missionaries. You can love all of them, but pick one of the four and build a relationship with one of the four. Steve Burdick, Steve Christensen, Keith Hamilton, Craig Wirens. Pick one. And then what you do is you email that person. And you go, hi, I'm Mike. I go to Community Covenant Church, and you're my missionary. What are you excited about in your ministry, and how can I be praying for you? And see where it goes. And then each month, we will highlight one of these four. On the third Sunday of every month, we highlight one of the four. And this Sunday happens to be, because we're about serving, we're highlighting Steve Christensen, who goes to this church. And I could bring him up here to talk right now, but that would be really difficult, seeing that he is in Papua New Guinea right now. So take a look.
Greetings from Papua New Guinea. I'd like to introduce Nalik translators, Mandas, Luwai, and Elizabeth. So one of you would like to say what you were excited about?
Mandas? Oh, yes. I'm excited because we are coming to the end of our book now. Thank you to Steve. He's been a very good consultant. Yes. We are very happy that we are coming to the end of translating our Nalik book, and we are very excited. Maybe we are going to launch it at, in 2020 or 23. 20 to 23, yes. Thank you. And may you continue to pray for us, help us to pray. Give us knowledge and understanding to continue to do our translation so that we can finish our book. Thank you.
I'd like to say thanks to all of you who have been praying for us, who have been helping us through what your prayers and any other thing you've helped us with. Thank you so much. You will continue to help us through your prayers. Thank you.
So blessings to all of you. Thank you for your prayers, as we said. And thank you for this time to be able to share with you.
Now, I have to say, the woman in the middle, I am so jealous of her hair. I'm not going to lie. I am. First time I saw that video. Steve works with Wycliffe Bible Translators. And they do Bible translation in Papua New Guinea is where he is. And there are still dozens and dozens of people groups in and around Papua New Guinea that do not have the Word of God in their own language. And they are just now finishing up. I think they're just finishing up Romans and John. And they're doing amazing work. So if you have not chosen your missionary yet, stop by the serving wall, pick up one of those, email one. And just see what happens. All right, which takes us to 2019. And in 2019, we're continuing with that chart still in the back of our mind. Oh, yeah. Community Covenant Church could be more successful to focus attention on. And we have continued to think, okay, how are we going to do that? How are we going to invest in being that kind of ecclesia? And so we have been investing. Has there been an obvious return for the investment? Yes. We're becoming an ecclesia. We're becoming an increasingly multi-generational ecclesia. Remember this survey? There was lots more in it. There was a lot of demographic work in the survey. Really interesting. For instance, it asked for your age range. There were 84 people that filled out this survey. That's a significant number for where the church was, you know, 6 years ago. Pay attention to the top line. The number of people under the age of 30 at this church was one. One person. I don't know if you know this. There is a small group that meets at my house on Sunday nights. It's comprised all of people in their 20s. There are 11 people that are part of that group. It's so cool. Some of them are working down with your kids right now. A couple of them are still in here. But they're 1 to 11. That's a significant amount of growth. One of the other questions in it, how many years have you attended CCC? Pay attention to the top line. Less than 5 years, six people. 6 years ago, only six people would have said, yeah, we've been here less than 5 years. I'm going to do something real quick. If you started attending this church within the last 6 years, would you please stand up? There you go. All right, go ahead and sit down. You'll love this one. This was in their survey as well. Do you have children under the age of 12? Eight people said yes. Four families. Again, if you have children 12 years old or younger, would you please stand? I know. And there's even more of them that are down in the room right now. So go ahead and sit down. Have we seen a return for our investment in being this kind of ecclesia? Yes. We have focused on a continued development of being an ecclesia. An ecclesia committed to connecting and growing and serving. But when we talk about investment, we start talking about this. Here's the thing about a budget. A budget is a mission statement. It always is. You've heard me say it before. Don't tell me what you believe is important. Show me how you spend your time and your money, and I'll tell you what's important to you. A budget is always a mission statement. It says something about an individual or a couple or an organizational's values. When you look at a budget, especially a church budget, you should be asking a couple of questions. You should be asking, is this an accurate representation of our mission? That would be a good question to ask. Or ask, does it reveal both fiscal responsibility and a commitment to dependence on God, aka faith? And I can tell you that over the last handful of years, the budgets that have been prepared by the leadership team you elected have represented our mission and have been evidence of fiscal responsibility and faith. But let's talk about this year's budget by looking at last year's budget. Last year, that top line was the budget that we approved as a congregation, $518,000. Woo! The number right below it is how much we actually spent this year. Our fiscal year, by the way, goes June 1 through May 31st. We're coming to the end of our fiscal year. So we spent far less than we budgeted. That's great. Until you look at the number below that, the $443,000, that's how much we're anticipating bringing in this year. So there's good news, bad news. Bad news. That's off by a bit. We don't want to repeat that again. Good news. We had the reserves so that we didn't go in debt. We didn't have to borrow. We're able to pay everything this past year. We don't want to do that again, though. But here's some other good news. Pay attention to that number on the bottom, that $443,000. $443,000 is the largest amount of tithes and offerings that this church has received in over 5 years. That's really exciting. Did we get to where we hoped to? No. But my goodness, there's reason to celebrate. And the fact that there wasn't clapping there means that you go, oh, I'm so worried about that other number that I failed to rejoice at how God has provided. God has provided in some remarkable ways this past year. Now, you look at those numbers, again, questions probably come up. Oh, before we go there, which takes us to next year's budget. This is the budget that the leadership team has been wrestling with for months and months and months. $476,000 is the proposed budget for this next year. Now, when you see that number, and in the seat back in front of you is a white piece of paper with some more details on the budget, if you're one of those people that really enjoys looking at more details. $476,000. Now, you see that number, and you're going to ask these questions. Wait a second. How are we doing this? How is it going to make? What are the questions we should be asking first and foremost? Is it an accurate representation of mission? Does it reveal fiscal responsibility and a commitment to dependence on God or faith? To which I can answer to both those questions, yes, 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 yes. But you might wonder, but Mike, wait a second. If we budgeted 518 for last year because we were investing in the ecclesia, and now we're going to reduce it down to 476, does that mean that we are compromising our commitment to the ecclesia? That's a good question. Are we going to compromise the momentum we're seeing? Well, how are we going to get from that 496 down to the 476? Well, we're doing a couple things. We've pretty much frozen all program budgets. No increases there for the most part. So existing ministries will continue to have to figure out how we're going to do this. We've toyed with the idea of closing the church office an extra day during the week to save some money there. We've talked about reducing our janitorial service to save money there, meaning that every one of us that does ministry in this church, a little extra cleanup because somebody else isn't going to do it for us. That's saving some money. It won't save us enough. But we discovered one way to save an awful lot of money: refinancing our mortgage. Ready for a mortgage history of this church? I've been studying. I was a history major in college. I get into these things. In the 1980s, this church burned its mortgage, was debt-free. Woo-hoo! In the 1990s, did a remodel. And then in 2010, did a second remodel, which meant all of that part of the building. So that in 2011, the church had a mortgage of $950,000. Now, over the past 7 to 8 years, we have aggressively been paying down that mortgage so that today, I'm gonna flip this number over, our mortgage rests at $589,000. So that's good news. That's good news. We've been very responsible there and aggressive there. But we began to talk that with the idea, what would a refinance do for this church? So we contacted National Covenant Properties. It's part of our denomination. It's who we have our loan through. They are tremendously fair and generous, and they are ministry-minded. They're not in this to make money. They're here to release churches into ministry. And so we have two loans through them that totaled $950,000 8 years ago. And we've been paying that down, but what happens if we put both together and do a refinance? Our mortgage annually would go from roughly $75,000 a year to $50,000 a year, freeing up over $20,000 for ministry. Now, National Covenant Properties was asking us all kinds of questions. They were looking at all of our numbers, our attendance, our this, that, the other thing. And Ruth and I would get this list of questions, and we'd answer what we could and would take others to the leadership team. And after one series of questions, took it to the leadership team, we talked about it, and then I wrote a response. Titus is kind of laughing over here because he read my response. I kind of let him have it because I go, let me tell you about Community Covenant Church. I got to read you his response to my response. I love this response. Thanks for having the discussions. Money follows mission. This loan helps you do more ministry. I'm glad we can help. I'm solidly recommending approval tomorrow at the meeting. and it was approved. Our refinance was approved. Now, here's the thing. Oh, that's good news. But this does not mean that we're taking on extra debt, but it does mean that we extend the loan. And interest comes into play there. At the leadership team meeting on Tuesday night, I told our leadership team, I want to be back here next year at this meeting with a plan to become debt-free in 2025. Because just extending out a loan forever, although it frees up money now, is not good stewardship in the long run. And we are committed to putting together a plan to become debt-free so that in 2025, we can do what the church did in the 1980s. But we need your approval for the refinance. And so up on the screen, I need Ryan to come on up here and do his job. This is worded by National Covenant Properties. This is what they have sent us. There's no motion needed from the floor because the motion comes from the leadership team. So,
okay, just a reminder, according to our denominational bylaws, only to be eligible to vote, you have to be a member. So, with that said, all in favor, please say aye.
Aye.
Okay. Any opposed? Okay.
All right.
Motion passes.
All right, so we can keep moving. So by approving that, we figured out how we're going to get from the 496 down to the 476. The next question becomes, well, how do we get from 443 up to 476? That's a fair question. Apparently, I've become good at Excel or good enough in Excel to make a bar graph. Ruth just laughs at me endlessly in our office as I come up with these things. Once again, you're not going to be able to read all of this, but pay attention to the bars. There you go. February 2018 to February 2019 giving. This represents the giving of 140 households that call this church home. For what it's worth, I have no idea how much anybody in this room gives outside of my wife and I. I have no idea. But we have records of how everybody gives. In fact, you got a letter a couple weeks ago that updated you on your giving this fiscal year. Here's what this graph tells us. On the left side, where that arrow is, that is the number of households. So from the bottom, zero households, the middle, 25 households, up at the top, 50 households. So that's what that is. On the bottom, in numbers you cannot read, that shows how much money was given by each of the households. So that column represents all the people in our church that gave between $0 and $99 this past year. Next column, people that gave between $100 and $500. Next column, $500 to $1,000. Next column, $1,000 to $2,000. $2,000 to $3,000. $3,000 to $4,000. And it continues by thousands until you get to the end. Those are the homes that gave excess of $10,000 over the course of the last year. So if you're reading the bar graph correctly, that bar right there represents from February to February, 19 households gave between $1,000 and $2,000 over the course of a year. That's what it says. So here's the questions that I have for us. Where are you on this chart? And seriously, this is not intended to be a guilt warning. That's not the intent. We're about connecting, growing, serving. I don't see guilting anywhere in that. But the growing part is significant to us, and how we use our money is one of the primary indicators about the trajectory of our growth. So where are you on this chart? I don't know. Like I said, only I know about Jen and myself. Does this represent a tithe? Tithe being 10%. And when we talk about tithing in this church, we always talk about tithing being an act of obedience and generosity. Does it represent your obedience to what the scriptures say about how we're supposed to use our money? Does the bar that you are in represent a tithe? Third question, will you consider taking the next column challenge? What's the next column challenge? Simply this. What will it take to move to the next column as you take an incremental step towards tithing? If you're already tithing, we celebrate that. That is outstanding. Way to go. This challenge, not for you, but for every one of us that may be struggling with the idea of tithing. What would it take to move to the next column as you take an incremental step towards tithing? What would it take to join the momentum of what God is doing in and through Community Covenant and find yourself in the next column? Put a number to it. And those of you that have this with the money on it, flip it over, and you see the next column challenge is this. What would it take to move to the next column? If you're in that first column, maybe an additional dollar a week would move you to the next column. Awesome. Awesome. An additional $5 a week or $260 over the course of the year, if that moved you to the next column towards a tithe, awesome. That would be growth as a group and as individuals. $520, would that take you to the next column? $1,040, $2,080, what would it take? And on the card, there's also other, because maybe it's a different number that would take you to the next column. And here's the exciting thing. Here's a real exciting thing about this. How do we get from 443 up to 476? I'm lousy at math. You need to know this. So I have my math checked by multiple people. The other day when I was doing this, I threw the math by Ruth, and she gave me the look, and she went, yes. If 40 households increased by $16 a week, we would meet our budget and then some. If people that are currently not tithing took an incremental step, just an incremental step, where they're easily, and this time next year, we're having a completely different conversation. The conversation isn't how are we going to get there. It's like, what are we going to do with the excess? If we move aggressively towards paying down that loan, that would free up an extra $50,000 a year. How might God want us to use $50,000 for connecting, growing, and serving? Those are exciting questions. I would really challenge you, if you're not currently tithing, take one step towards that, and suddenly we're having a completely different conversation next year. And for those of you that are tithing and continue to give above and beyond to missions and other ministries and organizations, awesome. Keep going with that. Keep going with that. Going above and beyond, celebrate that. Obedience and generosity. You'll notice on the bottom of this, it says your name. And you might go, but Mike, it's private. You're right. I still won't know how much total you're giving, but what this allows us to do from the church office is to be able to communicate with you about opportunities and updates with the Next Column Challenge, for workshops that are designed for people that are taking this challenge. It allows us to communicate better with you and let you know about some opportunities. So I encourage you, fill this out. Put it in the plate this Sunday, next Sunday, as we go after the new budget. So brings us to a motion, and I need Ryan to come back up here. And the motion is, the membership of Community Covenant Church hereby approves the 2019-2020 budget as presented. But you've got a couple things to take care of here.
Okay. Is there a motion to approve the 2019-2020 budget as presented? Okay, we can vote in one of two ways, a written ballot or a verbal vote. I'm sorry. Is there a second?
I'll second
both. Okay, so you can vote in one of two ways, verbal or written.
I'll make a motion to vote verbally.
Can I get a second?
I second.
Okay. Any opposed? Verbal vote?
So we have to actually take the vote to vote verbally.
For the vote.
So you have to actually go, okay. All those in favor of a verbal vote, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
That's a really funny question to ask, by the way. All those opposed to a verbal vote, say something out loud. it just occurred to me, but.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second, and we have agreed to a verbal vote. All those in favor of approving the 2019-2020 budget As presented, please say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes.
Woohoo! All right. Couple more things and we're going to be done. When we talk about who we are as an ecclesia, I am keenly aware that this church has been blessed with a tremendous number of faithful, gifted servants. Working with the leadership teams over the past 5 years, one of the great privileges of my time here. In fact, you know, I see Bill Dixon sitting right over there, and Kevin Leamy and a couple others that were on that leadership team when I first got here. And I remember my first leadership team meeting. I walked out of there with Kevin, and I was depressed. I walked out, and I looked at Kevin. I go, there's not a missional bone in their body. He's kind of smiled at me. I didn't have a home yet. My wife was still living in Washington. I was staying with the Coltons. I remember driving home and Jim was out there. He goes, how you doing? And I just went, bruh. And he goes, give him time, Mike. I got to tell you, between November of that first meeting to June, the transformation that didn't just take place among the leadership team, but my heart as well, is that became one of the more missional groups that we could have ever asked for. And since that day, my goodness, the leadership teams of this church are amazing stewards of what God has given this church. And then if I think of the ministry team leaders in this church, the elders, the deaconesses, all the different ministry teams, those of you serving on ministry teams, God has richly blessed this church with the people in this church. And instead of you guys all clapping, I get to clap for you because I am so very, very thankful for everything that you guys do. And one of the things we get to do in this meeting is we get to vote for people to fill new positions. And so we had a motion from the nominating team and from the leadership team. Their bios are in your bulletin. Leadership team, Beth Gavea. And by the way, they're elected for 2-year terms, and you can do 2 terms in a row. And so Titus is currently on the leadership team. He's going for a second 2 years. His wife gave him the okay. Beth has been on the leadership team before, but it's been a number of years, and is being nominated for this year. For the nominating team, Wendy Calton and Larry Gavea, the mutual ministry team is, in our constitution, we are required to have a mutual ministry team, and those people come alongside the pastor. And they meet with the pastor, they pray with the pastor. I do my annual review with them. In fact, every covenant church that's newer, it's required to be in their bylaws that there's a mutual ministry team. And I'm glad there is. My wife's down here goes, I love that. And as a pastor's wife, she's going, I love the fact that there's a church that goes, we're standing behind the pastor. Now, we can do this in a written vote, or we can do this in a verbal vote. Normally, I'd say do a written vote because we're voting for people. But my hunch in this room is that's not going to be a problem. Again, we'd need a motion to do a verbal vote, and it would keep us on time, too. All those in favor of doing a verbal vote for the positions, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All right, we have to go person by person, so Beth, cover your ears. All those in favor of Beth Gavea to become, serve a 2-year term on the leadership team, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All those in favor of Titus McDaniel serving a second 2-year term, respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? All those in favor for the nominating team, Wendy Calton serving for a 2-year term, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? I was just looking to see if Wendy's opposed. All those in favor of Larry Gavea, who's currently suffering for the Lord in the Grand Canyon, serving on the nominating team for 2 years, respond by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The mutual ministry team, these two are currently on the mutual ministry team and are being re-upped. And I just want to say, I love these two people and the way that they have cared for me over the last couple of years. But All those in favor of, for the mutual ministry team, Hal Larson, say aye.
Aye.
And Joyce Wesselman, say aye.
Aye.
All right, that all passes, which brings us to our very last piece. 1 year ago, the leadership team approved a sabbatical for the senior pastor. It's common practice in churches that after a certain amount of time, a pastor takes some time away for study and reflection and for rest. Usually the practice in most churches, 7 years, and then they have 3 month sabbatical. But here's what people have discovered in lots of churches. After 7 years, the pastor's fried. And then they go on sabbatical, and they come back from the sabbatical and leave the church. I mean, it's happened all the time. And so the denomination, the Evangelical Covenant Church, said, you know, we can do this better. And they began to suggest, instead of 7 years, 3 months, after 3.5 years, do 6 weeks. And just to make that part of the rhythm. So a year ago, the leadership team approved that for me. I was excited. I thought, wait a second, we're right in the middle of investing in our ecclesia. We've just hired an associate pastor. We're about ready to hire 2 directors. And so what would it be like for me to go, welcome to our church. I'll see you in a month and a half. And so I asked the leadership team if I could postpone the sabbatical for a year. And they said yes. Titus said yes if you promise to actually take it. And so starting the 3rd of June, I'm going to be gone for 6 weeks doing my sabbatical. The first week, I'm going to be down in Ventura, staying with some friends and doing a whole lot of nothing. I'm going to go sit in a sanctuary at Community Presbyterian Church, which is this amazing sanctuary. It's one of those sacred places. And I'm arranging just to have time to sit in there by myself. I'm going to sit on the beach, and I'm going to eat really good, bad-for-me food. But I just want to spend time reading and listening and writing. And then Jen and I, when she's done with school, are going to go visit missionaries in Europe. We're going to be visiting the Wyrens in Bulgaria. And then visiting one of my former students who's a missionary in London. We're doing the world's cheapest version of going to Europe as we're staying at people's houses and other random places. We're going to go do that. And then the end of the sabbatical is just going to be a time of more writing. My daughters and my wife have been telling me I should be writing, but I stopped writing about 9 years ago, and or more than that. And we can point to the moment that I stopped, and I think it's time to start again. So I might be doing that. But we've got an amazing lineup of people preaching over those 6 weeks. Chris Gothel is preaching twice. Justin Pritchard will be here preaching. Steve Burdick will be here preaching. Emily Seiler will be preaching again. And our very own Matt Alseth will be preaching as well during that stretch. And so we're going to be in good hands, probably better hands, during those 6 weeks. But here's what I can tell you. I've seen a lot of pastors that go on sabbatical in preparation to leave. And that's not me at all. I am so thankful for what God has done in and through this church over the past 5 years. And I view this sabbatical as a refreshing time to get ready for the next 5 years and the next 5 years. I'm nothing but stubborn. So I'm not going anywhere. And this time away is going to get my heart and mind ready for what God has next as we continue to be an ecclesia, a group of people with a common identity. We are a transformed people because of Jesus. And a common purpose. We connect, we grow, and we serve. And we do not compromise on any of that. Amen?
Amen?
All right. I need the leadership team to come on up. Not the leadership team. I need the worship team to come on up. Congratulations, Titus. You're singing today. We're going to come on up, and we're going to sing a couple songs. We told the children's ministry we're going long today, so they're still rocking it down there. We're going to sing a couple songs. We're going to take the offering. And then we'll be out of here.